I am not human, and neither are you. Now, some of you may be, you know, bots or NPCs, but definitely not human. Let me explain. Welcome back to another episode on the I Am Luke podcast. I'm your host, Luke. And in this episode, I would like to talk to you about a race that doesn't exist, the human race. Many of you may be thinking, this guy is insane. What the heck is Mook talking about? And what I'm saying may seem crazy, but give me a chance and listen to insanity become clarity. For those of you that are new to my podcast, welcome. This podcast was created to talk about things outside of normal everyday activities. I'm not here to talk about soccer, Bitcoin, fashion, movies, or politics. I'm here to talk about thriving in life, living a fulfilled life, a purposeful life. Shoot, finding the tree of life. On this podcast, we talk about dreams, deja vu, eternity, our reality, the perception of time, and so much more. I like to talk about some topics that can infinitely expand our being, and the topic of us not being human is one of those topics. Now, I need you to understand, this is an open conversation. I'm not here to throw empirical data and articles at you. This is the thoughts of one Mook. This is my truth, which is subject to change depending on the information I gather while on this journey. And just because this is my truth, it doesn't mean that it's everyone's truth. You're not forced to believe anything I'm saying. I just want to provide some topics for deeper thought. Like I said, it's an open conversation, which means write your thoughts in all the comments. Now, back to the topic at hand. As I said before, I am not human, or at least I don't believe I am. Nor do I believe you are either. And there are three ways in which I can explain this. The first is through my use of an analogy. The second is through the use of religion. And the third is through the explanation of science. I don't know why I made analogy the first explanation because I'm trash at using analogies, but you know, this is how I think about our bodies. Imagine driving a vehicle from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida. A road trip, so to speak. For those of you that aren't used to road trips, it's a long-ass trip. Just take my word on it. And on this road trip, you can take as long as you need to make this drive. It can be days, months, or years, it doesn't matter. And you can also stop at as many places as you want, whether it's for rest stops, sightseeing, food, worship, etc. You can do whatever you want on this road trip, within reason, of course. The only thing that is asked of you is to make it from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida in the vehicle that you started the trip in. That's it. The laws, rules, and regulations still apply though. So if you get caught speeding or running a red light, you could still get a ticket. And if you do a hit and run or get caught drinking and driving, you know, you could still go to jail. And lastly, maintenance on your vehicle is still expected but not required. Depending on the time that it takes you to complete your road trip, it may impact the amount of maintenance your vehicle needs. If you make the trip in just a few days with minimal stops and holdups, you might not need any maintenance. Now, the longer the road trip, the higher the need for maintenance. It may cause you to get new tires or an oil change, maybe even a new battery. But as more time goes on, let's say years, you'll most likely have problems with the alternator, the starter, the timing belt, etc. So it's safe to say, the longer you take to complete this road trip, the more problems you will more than likely encounter. And if you take too long to complete the journey, then your vehicle may just break down for good. Once your vehicle breaks down or gets totaled, you're done. The trip is over. And when your vehicle inevitably breaks down, you will be asked if you finished the task that was assigned to you. Did you make it from Seattle to Miami? Did you complete the purpose of your trip? Now, my first question to you, the listener, is this. At any point during this scenario, did you identify yourself as the vehicle? Are you the vehicle? Of course not. At least I hope not. Because you are the one controlling the vehicle. The vehicle is what was needed to get you through the road trip. You were able to visit different places, see new people, eat different foods, all because you had a vehicle to help you reach new destinations. So my second question to you is this. If you understand that you are not your vehicle, why do you believe that you are your body? Why do you believe that you are human? These bodies are our biological vehicles, which are needed to complete our road trips, our journeys in life. And every being has a destination to reach before these biological bodies break down. So what I'm trying to say is this: you are not your body. We are not our bodies. Once our bodies break down, we still are. Now, my first explanation was an analogy, and it probably wasn't a good one at that. It was more like a personal explanation needed to help you understand my proposal. Now, my second explanation relies on religion and spirituality. I believe myself to be more spiritual than religious. However, as a student of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment, I found it necessary to read more than books of science. And I found it necessary not to be confined to the teachings of just one religion. I won't speak on all religions because I don't know all religions, but I can say that I've read many religious and spiritual books, and I still continue to read more. I've read the Bible in its entirety, along with an autobiography of a yogi. I've read a majority of the Lotus Sutra. I'm currently reading the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita, along with many other books. There is a commonality that I noticed in many of the religions. Actually, there's a lot of things that I noticed were common amongst many of the different religions, but the one that I wanted to point out is the understanding of an afterlife, a life that exists outside the body. Many religions believe in a version of heaven or hell, and some religions believe in reincarnation. After someone passes away, have you ever heard someone say, "I wonder if they're in heaven," or "I wonder if they'll be reincarnated"? In both of these instances, the deceased person's body is in the ground, but we believe that the real person has finally moved on to another location. If you can go to heaven after the body dies or be reincarnated, then that means that you were never the body to begin with. You were never the vehicle. On another note, some people don't believe in religion or spirituality, and that's fine, it's not. You don't have to believe in religion or spirituality. Even science suggests that we aren't human. Let me explain. I looked up the definition of a human being, and this is what it said. A human being is a man, woman, or child of the species Homo sapiens that is distinguished from other animals by superior mental development, power of articulate speech, and an upright stance. So, it described the body. Now, I'm going to keep the science of not being human stupid simple. Not to say that anyone is stupid or anything, but, you know, in a world of MOOCs, you never know. Basic science teaches us that our bodies, living organisms, are composed of cells, trillions of them. And each of these cells have a nucleus, some cytoplasm, ribosomes, mitochondria, all that good stuff. These cells are equipped to provide structure for the body, take in nutrients from food, convert those nutrients into energy, and carry out special functions. Now, this upcoming part is what matters. Well, I mean, it all matters, but my point to be made is within this next explanation. Remember, I just said that there are cells that carry out special functions, specific functions, such as neurons. What are neurons, you ask? Neurons are nerve cells that send messages all over your body to allow you to do everything from breathing to talking, eating, walking, thinking, etc. These cells are the fundamental units of the brain and the nervous system. They are responsible for receiving sensory input from the external world, and they convert and relay electrical signals throughout the body. Their interactions help to define who we are as people. I hope I didn't lose you. Let me simplify it even more. Imagine your friend walks up to you and pinches you. You would probably say, "Hey, why did you pinch me?" Or you might hit them back, whatever. But you would associate the pain that you felt as part of you. I Am Mook is here to tell you that your friend can't pinch you. You don't feel pain. I know it all sounds absurd, but let me tie it all together. Just stick with me. When your friend pinches what you think is you, they are pinching the cells of your body. Those cells of your body send electrical signals to the brain, and the brain simulates the information. It's the communication between your cells that help us to experience the world. The pain that you think you feel is a simulation via communication, which is vital to the survival of this body. Why do you think dentists numb your mouth when they drill into your tooth? The medicine that they inject into your gums inhibits or limits the communication between those cells. It's not that you don't feel pain anymore. It's because there is a disruption between the cells communicating with the brain. We're not experiencing the world directly, we're experiencing the world via simulation through the efforts of our biological vehicle. We are not human beings. We are beings in a biological vessel. These bodies tether who we are to this reality so that we may experience through simulation the perspective and perception of a human. So at the end of the day, why does all this matter? I guess we'll have to stick around for the next episode.